I call the word resistance. Resistance. We're going to talk about those people that got into their dream or getting into their dream. A lot of times we talk about how to get into the calling, how to find yourself, what things you must do. But this sermon is going to be more towards those people who already feel their calling. It's already not far from you. They've already took steps towards it. And you already know, this is my sphere, this is where I must grow. Today I'm going to talk about resistance. What is resistance? Why does it exist in the life of a Christian? And how important it is in our life. Resistance. Everything that moves in this earth has resistance. Is that not right? A ship that is sailing in the water has creates resistance. An airplane that's flying in the air is resisting. A person that's walking, you don't even notice, but there is a gravity that resists you, and you have to flex your muscles, even though you're used to do it. But in order to move in this earth, everything in our life resists a certain movement. Only there is no resistance for those people who don't move anywhere and don't do nothing. So depending on the level of your resistance, you can tell the level of your movement forward. If you don't have resistance, you're not going nowhere. You don't have nobody to fight with, and that's why you don't have any conflicts in your life. But if in your life there is a resistance, some people say, oh, it was so terrible. It was such a hard week. We were fasting for encounter. I was praying. I felt a huge, huge war. You felt resistance because you moved somewhere in the spiritual world. You got something. Something hated you, and now it's trying to fight you. Depending on the level of your resistance, you can tell the level of your movement. If you have a little resistance, then you just started moving. But when everything just goes against you, spiritual and physical, then you got to know that don't even think about stopping. More and more people, me personally, I notice in my life, that sell out so cheaply. They sell their dream for real cheap. To receive your dream and get into your calling is not hard. But the hardest thing is to stay in it. To take over a city is one thing, but to keep it is another. From people coming in and trying to conquer. To conquer is just to something is you just have to flex one time and attack the enemy really good. But then, in order to keep everything, there's going to be attacks. Now you grow from a person who attacks some sphere. Now you are you're like a guard, and now it all depends on how much you're going to guard what God gave you. And there's going to be resistance in your life to take what God gave you from you, to steal what God gave you and what you conquered. And that's why, my beloved ones, I'm just surprised how cheaply, how quick people sell out what God gave them. I know people who real easily gave their life, their calling, sitting with a cup of tea. They told him, and he just gave up. And now he's ashamed of what church he goes to. He's ashamed who his pastor is. He's ashamed to even say anything about his church, about what they do. And this resistance, instead of making him stronger, it broke him. Because inside this person, there was nothing that can stand and help. This person did not have any kind of dream, anything big that he wanted to guard. He was just empty. He received something, you know. You know how interesting it is to watch people that if their calling costs them a lot. When your calling costs you a lot, you're going to take care of it really well. And those people who receive their calling real quick, you just jumped in, you took it, you received it. These people usually end up having huge problems because what they received does not have much value to them. those people who fought for their freedom for years, and when he receives it, he doesn't just give it away without a fight. Any sphere in our life will be attacked by somebody or someone, not to kill you, but to check, do you deserve, are you worthy of your dream? Are you worthy of your dream? How to test whether you are worthy of your dream, to create a resistance against you. And we see that it's not the devil. God allows it. God allows resistance in our life to check what kind of material you are made of and your dream is made of. Remember those houses that were built? One person built on a rock, another one built on sand. It's in Matthew. It's written. And he said it will be tested. And then when the resistance came, the winds came, and the rivers flowed, and a big storm started in those places. We're used to saying that, yeah, that's our faith. I'll tell you honestly, if you were based, if your foundation was on the real, nobody will ever break you. Jesus even said, resistance is always going to be there. There's always going to be winds. There's always going to be rivers, but your foundation will be checked. And this resistance is not from the devil. Somebody sitting there with their broke down stuff. Oh God, what's going to happen now? Nothing. Now you're going to build on a rock from now on, because it already, the rivers already took you down. We need to understand. Some people say it's good to be in space. They don't have resistance, gravity up there. You just press a little thing of water, and he just sucks it in, a little bubble of water, and he can eat some things, and he's like floating in the air. We're thinking it's so easy up there, no resistance. While they're up there, he's during the time when there's no gravity, every day, the people in space, they lose their skills. You don't flex your muscles, so their bones, they say the people in space, cosmonauts, their bones get so soft and everything else. Also, it depends on how long you're going to be there. You need about a month or two to restore and to be driving around in a wheelchair, because your muscles can't even do simple functions like even go to the bathroom, wash yourself, or to even pick up a glass of water. People from space can't do that for a while. They train them. In space, we see them practicing some kind of resistance. They take rubber bands, just they're doing exercise up there just to prevent us as people or humankind. Tells us everything. When you grab something heavy, everything inside you tells you to drop it. We don't want to hold something real heavy. We want to pull it. Everything we do that's heavy or physical nature tells us to drop it. It's getting in your way. But when we're running or we're in a gym, we're lifting weights, the weights have two choices. Either it's going to break you or you're going to lift it. Resistance, do not run from resistance. Resistance is what makes you strong personality. People say, I don't want these attacks. I don't want these rumors and this family drama. I don't want this. That means you don't want power. You don't want success. You don't want progress. And you don't want to be powerful in the spheres that you're weak in. As soon as you're going to become strong in those spheres, they're going to stop getting to you. Everybody with me? I know on myself, as soon as you're done with this lesson, everyone who always said something, they just all shut up, because now they look at you as somebody that's pointless to even try to prove anything to. Resistance. What is resistance? It is mandatory. Us as people, we try to run everything away from everything hard, from any kind of any kind of times where you have to get tense, where you have to tense up. God can't give you something big until He checks your through resistance. How can He trust tons of people? How can He trust you, thousands of people's hearts? If you, in 2 minutes, you can just leave and sell out everything He invested into you. We all dream about something huge, but I'll tell you, were you checked with serious resistance? If you're a businessman, you will be tested with amen. I know what that is. You think finances are supposed to come in, and you understand it as a businessman, but they just leave. And those things that you think is supposed to be a profit, and you end up losing money. This is there to test you whether you're ready to earn millions, or you're just gonna give up on $100. You know, it's a lot easier to work with money and metal. Metal is able to be, but people is the kind of thing that, you know, you tell them one thing one day, and the next day somebody tells them something else. And resistance is something that tries to mess with your dream. But there's two sides to this. One is positive, and the other one is deadly. Because if you don't understand what resistance is, it will break you and it will scorch you. But if you understand what resistance is for and why it comes into your life, you will become a strong personality. Because every time, why does it say in James, do not worry about temptations. Blessed is those who what? We all know this about temptations. What is this? Blessed is the brother, not the one who falls, but the ones who's able to go through the resistance attacks of the, because this resistance, I'm telling you in my own words, I don't want to waste time right now, it will turn you into a warrior. Blessed, not because it's cool that I'm in temptations. Oh yeah, I'm blessed because I'm drunk now, I'm blessed. No, blessed is that personality that God pulls into warfare, into a battle. Because when you leave this battle, you're going to be strong. And that's why, if we understand this right, some people hate resistance. They hate conflicts. They hate everything that is involved with any type of attacks. Physical attacks with friends at work, with demonic attacks. They don't want to have nothing to do with them. But if you reject those attacks, you reject your own dream. You pull any one of these people out of the Bible, like Daniel, or did these people become strong because or no? These people were just bold, and just these three men that were put in the fire. The whole nation is laying in front of the God that they built. And these three guys just care less about anybody else. What, are you special? Amen. What? Are you the best ones here? Amen. Because I stand, and you're laying there. I'm standing. I'm not going to get on my knees in front of a spirit of religion. I'm not going to stand on my knees in front of the spirit of death. I will show you my God that's alive. It's simple math. If you're a believer, then show me your God. Everything is real simple. In the Old Testament, everything was real simple. Show me your God. And the God that's going to answer with fire, real actions, that is the God. And that's why everything is real simple. Show me your God. And we will see whose God is alive and whose God is moving. Resistance. It is so mandatory in order to create and build our attitude. Daniel, another one. Same category those three men came from. They had a really good, friendly group. Daniel became who he was because of resistance, or he just didn't want to have nothing to do with resistance? Only because of resistance, because he said, I will not close my windows, and I will not stop praying to my God. Are you worthy of your dream? Can you, at the time when everybody's saying this is wrong, can you stand up and open your windows and start screaming, this is right? And not have one person that will hold you up. That is where you're tested as to who you are. Right now it's good for us. We have a family. But sometimes when we're in our family right here, little family, it's wonderful here. It's pleasant. But a lot of times we sell out. When we're sitting at the table with our relatives, when you really are alone, your standards aren't tested here. They're tested over there. And you know, not too long ago, I was sitting, and my standard was tested. Some people will say, you were rude. I said, no, I was protecting my vision. Somebody quietly and told me to chill. Somebody, and these people, these aren't people from the side that just threw something towards you, some email or some kind of a religious junk. I don't reply to that. No. Usually this is done by people who are close to you. Do you understand what I'm talking to you, church? These are people who are around you. People who are used to listening to you, and they're used to speaking into your life, and you're used to listening to them. This usually happens in the form of a non-attack. This, we sell our standards real quietly, without a word, without a shot. We're just sitting there. I came in the power of the Spirit, and when somebody told me who you are, well, you think you're this and that, and you get quiet and quiet, and that's it. They broke you. And you see that you came in with the power of Spirit because you couldn't stand up and guard your own personal vision. Not this church. This church is standing. There's no problems. You, are you standing? We're not popular. I want to ask a question. Around who? Around who? Around people who are going nowhere? Thank God that I'm not popular around them, because this indicates that I'm different. I know that we're popular among angels. A whole stadium of them, full of them. And we're real popular there. I want to be popular in an unseen world. I want this church to be popular and have a hit in an unseen world, in a spiritual world. I want for you to be known on the other side of the world. Why? Because your God is alive. If He's alive, they will know about you. Not because you gave somebody a business card, but because God Himself will make sure that they'll know you. And God has this this thing. He wants to give someone thousands, nations. He wants to give you influence. When I'm telling you we're taking nation, I'm not saying that we're going to put them all into one building. I'm speaking that when we're going to take nations, we're going to take the mentality of the nation with every type of method. And we're not doing reformation in Washington. We want to change their mentality. We want people to see something different than what they were born in, because that was not alive, God, but my God is alive. Resistance. God has a thing. He wants to give you a lot. But before He can give you a lot, He wants to know how strong you are and what He wants to give you. How quickly are you going to give up? Or are you even going to give up? Or you're just not going to give up ever. You're going to die one alone, but you'll never give up. We all want a lot. We say, God, give it to us. I want people to hear me. I want, when I preach, for every one of my word to be like a hammer. For every one of my revelation would be like a spear that just just spears all the way through to the depths. He wants to give this to you. Second moment, how do you go through your resistance? How do you, and you know, when I had a resistance, like the type of, my reaction was the same. I'm sitting there. I have two choices. One choice, real easy, to just bow my head and say, that's it. I'm not going to do this. Let's relax. Let's just keep talking pleasantly. Let's just make it look like everything's fine. But in this moment, I understood that somebody's looking at me from up there. And even though there's only a couple of people on the table, but I'm replying about my calling in front of God. And what should I take the easy way and just keep drinking tea and bow my head? But I would have been defeated because I would have let my position down. I put the tea aside, looked into his eyes, and told him exactly everything that I think about those people and about my calling. Yeah. Yeah, it was a terrible type of conversation, but... And every one of these conversations, I have even more friends, less friends. But after these three men were able to go through the fire, they didn't care about how people looked at them. But when the king said, do not touch... That's why we stand. Because we have a goal that's totally different. Because we have a totally different dream. The heart of one king will turn to you because you didn't give up. You took over the whole land. Because one word of this king and all these people that were on their knees in front of the fake god, they'll be on their knees and resistance again. Now you look at resistance totally different. I want you to love resistance because resistance is every one of your tests. And blessed is the man who falls into temptation because according to this you are tested. Your level is of you go through your resistance. You say, I will not let go of my positions, no matter who it is, kids, wife, whatever. I have a God that I will not betray. I will not give my God and what He put inside me for some quiet evening. Yeah, this way I lost a lot of my friends. And then I thought about it. Were they even friends? Because real friends I'll never lose. My beloved ones, 70 disciples of Jesus Christ could not resist the resistance. We're not going to drink your blood, Jesus, and we will not eat your flesh. And 70 of the disciples left. Jesus turns and says, do you guys want to leave too? These guys did not care because they knew where life is. They said, Jesus, we'll eat whatever. As long as we know that you're righteous, we see that God is with you. You have salvation. You have everything. You are a person who walks in fire. And we check our standards. Do we want to go with the majority and just become a dumb sheep that runs around? Or do I want to have my own opinion? My beloved ones, all I ask of my people, relatives, friends, you don't think they get to us? We think that you guys should not do your services like that. Yeah, we will listen to you, sure. We think that is you shouldn't say these phrases, but these phrases are the ones who deliver somebody. You take away these phrases and my hammer or my sledgehammer, then I'll just become a half asleep preacher. There's enough of those. Why should I be like that? I'm thinking if you're gonna make a new car, invent a new car, why should you make it one that's the same? If God makes a church, He makes everything totally new. Yeah, we don't look like other people. Yeah, our service is different, but that doesn't mean that it has its own results. Resistance. Everything that has movement has resistance. Everything that doesn't have resistance, that doesn't have movement, does not have resistance, is your movement forward. We want to quit. We want to drop it. I've seen people who, in front of my eyes, sold out everything God gave them. Everything you need to lose, everything that God gave you, it's just at one of your times at the table, just agree with the crowd. We walk in front of God. We can say things and we can be popular here, but you're tested over there, where you're one-on-one with your dream and your calling, and that the resistance that goes against you there, it'll test you. Resistance usually tests your standards. Do you even have them? I guarantee you, when you go against the resistance, you're going to lose some people. But a lot of times we don't want to lose those people who are used to be friends with us. And this way, we go with a majority that doesn't go anywhere. I ask my people, I say, allow me to live my life the way I want to live it and to think with my own head. That's all I ask my nation. That's all I want. If you don't like me, there's a button off on the television, and you don't have to come to this church. We don't make anybody come here. We don't glue your eyes to the TV. You have to watch this sermon. No, you don't like it. You hate it. Right away, as soon as I chose this style and path, right at the beginning, I knew people won't accept it. But I'm doing this for those people that will be saved by this way. But this kind of sledgehammer is the kind of sledgehammer that will save those type of people. But by whispering, I'm not going to save nobody. I need to do everything I can to wake people up. That's sometimes, I was watching CNN one time. You're watching sermons, and there's us. Ah, there's sermon. Seriously, I was watching. I was thinking, we're a little strange. Who watched CNN? You know what I'm talking about? Everything's normal. Everything's just going with the wind, and then there's something else just comes out. Something's flying. They downloaded you. If you're afraid of resistance, you're afraid of moving forward. You're afraid of moving forward. You will never be sustained. You will never become who you got to become. Resistance is a test for what you're going towards. Resistance is what checks you for your strength. Can your foundation handle this? If you crack, you're going to take the same test over and over again until you finally reply to all those things. Yeah, it's hard to be like one of the men in the Bible. Sometimes it's hard to be a Joseph and to be in jail because all you have to do is click two fingers and sleep with this woman, with the wife of the your master in the house. You even have a woman. Where are you going to go? Just, guys, some guys dream about this kind of life. Imagine, don't even have to get married. Oh, this is a different subject. You can just live there. Everything's in your hands. But he said, no, the master gave me everything except you. He stood up against what they gifted him. This woman, she wasn't far. She was with him every day, all the time. She fell in love with him. It says that he was handsome. Resistance comes from the side that's closest to you. These are people. You will be attacked by those who are real close to you. And right here, we're sitting there drinking tea, and we sell out everything that the light is on. And God looks at you. Can you carry his nation? Or a little piece of his job that he wants to give you. And after a cup of tea, you think everything's fine, you know, and you go to sleep. when God says this person is incapable to carry, if he sold out right here, when I give him success, what's going to happen in? So, this is resistance that we must love. Let's read one story. Real interesting. We all know it. I just want to refresh it in your head. Dalilah and Samson. Two personalities. You understand that when Samson had other women, other prostitutes or whatever, or adulteress, his heart was never glued to any of them. Only one that his heart was glued to. She destroyed him. What you gave yourself to, what you dedicate yourself to, and stayed with that problem, that is what ate him up. Watch carefully who's around you. It could just be a snake that's waiting. It's chance. And that could be anybody, I'm telling you, seriously. We think it's friends, but at this time, they're pulling life out of you. And you don't even notice how right now, in 5 minutes, you lost your calling because you thought this was tea. But for God, this was a test of your life that was not even noticed by you yourself. And in that moment, I'm sitting at a table drinking tea. Of course, I haven't seen these people for a long time. And here's this bam, bam, bam. And what do I got to do? I have to just torture my evening. And just, I must stand up and close somebody's mouth and do what I got to do. I got to be here and at home. I got to be the same everywhere. Otherwise, anointing is going to be taken out of my life. And I can still scream, but if I have no anointing, it's never going to get to your spirit. I didn't lose my position. I will lose the point in life. Position means nothing without a point in life. Position will stay, but life will leave. So, what happens in your life? And again, you got to ruin relationships. Let's read about Samson. We remember Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ never allowed anybody to even touch his calling. One of his favorite disciples, Peter, comes to him and said, "Teacher, you shouldn't have to die." Remember that? You know, in this moment, he touched his calling. All the other talks, all the other things, who was more, who was going to be bigger, smaller, Jesus did not react to it. But as soon as somebody touched his calling, Jesus changed on his face. And that personality that did not he just said, "Get away from me, devil." If Peter was more of a simple, weaker guy, he would have turned back and left the team. Who wants to be called the devil in the team? I have 12. None of them are a devil. Who wants to be called the devil? They called Peter the devil. Remember, imagine what kind of nickname that is, devil. All the disciples heard this. They looked at his disciples and said, "Get away from me, Satan." This is a personality he loved, he feared, and here he turned into a personality that wasn't look totally different. The disciples didn't even recognize him. One more moment. Jesus gets into the temple. He came to church. We usually, they're selling smoked fish and cucumbers and they're selling magazines in this church. This isn't inside, it's out there. Everything. And then people come in, and I know people that come to church just to buy groceries. Just to buy, they know that church before church and after church, they bring stuff. They don't have nothing to do with church. They just come to church to do this. That's what stores are for. But don't turn God into this junk. They have stores that they open. They should open up next to it. But when Jesus came into there, this Lamb of God turns into an animal or a beast that the disciples couldn't even recognize. Then they finally got it. They said, "The anger because of the house of God." If when something touched Jesus or the church, like the house of God, he turns into another personality that didn't look like the Lamb, the humble Lamb. So you should have a totally different face. Sometimes you got to have a totally different life, because sometimes God gives you something not just to give it to you, but to test how dear you are with this and how much you're going to protect this. What you paid a lot of money for, you're going to protect. Whatever you hardly paid anything for, it's already just probably laying in your doghouse by now. Let's read about Samson and Delilah. Judges chapter 16, verse 4. Starting from verse 4. 16:4. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. After this, you'll have a text into your life. But as soon as your heart gets attached to something that God did not give you, didn't allow you to get attached to, you become bonded to something and somebody, and something becomes bonded to you. And this object has a potential power to destroy you. Everything else that can come into your life, come out, but what your heart got attached to can destroy you, or those who were born in the same house, or those who gave birth to you in that house. Let's take a look. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied and subdued." Tied up and subdued. Samson answered, "If anyone ties me with the 7 fresh thongs that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man." Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh thongs and had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the thongs as easy as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. And Delilah said to Samson, "You have made a fool of me. You lied to me." They're not telling him, "Tell me how I can make you feel good. What kind of soup can I cook for you?" No. She's saying, "Tell me, what can I do to take away all your strength and your calling and your whole life, everything he was designed." And you think Delilah was called to take his power? And she was sent by the devil for Israel to stay as slaves. Devil has way bigger plans. You just see that you just gave up something at a cup of tea, but God sees everything you had to do. But be happy. Your eyes have not been poked out yet. You have a chance to apologize and say, "Never again in my life I will not step back. I will not give up." Yes, some people will hate you. But because of this, you will be loved, because you will be a personality that you can rely on at any time. Because they'll know that this person has a backbone that does not bend. He is strong and sure. Yeah, sometimes at least these people don't sell out for some cheap. They know where they're going and what they want. Samson did not realize that not only people are just trying to give me a haircut, make me, maybe dye his hair or whatever. No, she was talking about, "What can I do to you?" in order, in my words, to take away your calling. And Samson was so in love with this woman that he did not understand that here your death is coming. As soon as you step into the house of Delilah and your heart is attached to her, your days are numbered. How many days you have left until you become a shameful slave without any eyes. Why did they poke his eyes out? Only for one reason. For us, it's an example. He could not see. He sold out his vision that God gave him. He became blind. He died. The fact that he broke two pillars later, that's like when the dog has 100 fleas and before the dog dies catches one. Samson, he didn't do nothing with these acts. He just paid back. He did not make have much success or a big change. There was no real victory or nothing. He just paid back. He was just mad because of his two eyes. He was used instead of a donkey. He didn't understand that you lost your destiny, your life, because somebody gave your license. I'm doing these all illustrations for you to understand me in the spirit. A lot of times we give away our license or the ticket to our dream, and somebody just tears it apart and just stomps on it and laughs at you. You where are you going to go? You have future, please. Yeah, right. So many days will go by and you'll be the same again and blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of stuff to read here, and she's trying this and that. And he was lying to her and lying to her. He kept lying to her until she finally got to him. She got to him. He couldn't handle it no more. Now that is how your calling is stolen. He should have said right away, we can do everything, but this subject is closed. You don't love me. He didn't know what to do. He went into a compromise. Well, I kind of love you. You know what this is? This says that Delilah became more important. Her opinion was more important for him than his calling and power. We usually exchange something with value. She said, we don't love you. And a relative says, and you left our relatives, our family. What am I going to tell our relatives in Ukraine? But when you were laying around on ecstasy and nobody cared about you and nobody in Ukraine cared about who you are, and all of a sudden everybody cares about their opinion and how you live, and Ukraine too, and in Russia too, and all the relatives got to know what kind of example you are. A year ago, you're laying around on drugs, stealing microwaves and just to sniff some more white stuff. Everything was fine then, but all of a sudden everybody cares. Everybody wants to correct you. You're moving a little wrong. God must save you. Go under the bridge and save. They say you steal our people. They're stealing people from us. They're stealing from us. We bring people to God, repent them, and then they steal from us. And pull them back into religion, back to the devil. I say, if you don't like what we do, go into the world where we go, you know, go to some beaches or pull out like the drug addicts from coffee shops, sign them up for Encounter, pray for them, go there and do it. Everything is real simple. Total different math when you look at it from a different side. And we're going to read about the conclusion. When Delilah became so valuable to her, he was ready to just throw away his vision and his whole point in life just for Delilah to be sure that he loves her. And right now, somebody's digging into and dropping and send you emails. Somebody's poisoning you. Not right away, slowly, step by step, to slowly be able to pull you out, for you to slowly sell out your principles, and they get to you to such a point where you're ready to throw everything, your church, your teaching, everything, just for them to leave you alone. I know such people. Every day she was torturing him. So he told her everything. "That razor has never been used on my head," he said, "because I have been a Nazarite, set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man." Sold out. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines. You think the people, if they loved you, they would have saved you all the time. They just don't like that you make their life discomfortable. They're doing this not because of you, but because of them. Because if they shut you up, they will take away all the resistance out of their life. Because every time they see you free from drugs and if in a different church, they must admit that God is alive here. But they don't want to do that. And that's why they're happy when some drug addict receives freedom here, goes back to drugs. I've seen people happy because they finally proved that this is all. And you know who helped them pull them back to hell? Working, they did. We got to look at the picture a little different. Delilah saw that he opened up her heart. "Come back once more. He had told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. This is like an image that a lot of times we think these are our friends. They have nothing in common with our friends. And I watched this picture. As soon as this guy or girl gets back to their level, nobody cares about her ever again. Not at all. Resistance is gone. Everybody shut up. Until this day, him or her is not needed by anybody. I know people that religion pulled out of this church, pulled out from freedom, back into slavery, and now they're happy. It proves one time that God does not work here. I understand my sermons are strange. Sometimes you won't even have a thought like that. Now I will. This is what resistance is. It is somebody hunting your future, your calling, your inheritance. And it's hunting everything that God has for you. Having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair. So began to subdue him, and his strength left him. She knew right away. She knew for sure. Then she called Samson. "The Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord has left him. When he was out there sinning, did God leave him? No. When he sold his standards, did God leave him? So resistance is more dangerous than sin sometimes. Because sin will never attack your calling. It for a short period of time pulls you away from it, but your calling can be at a cup of tea, you fail your whole destiny, and you thought that this had to be something special, but it was something little. Well, Samson was just laying there with his favorite woman on her lap that he lived with for a short period of time and gave her everything. She destroyed him. And it says, I want you to understand this. He was awakened from, he has awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. When the Philistine seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. They set him to grinding in a prison. Do you know who grinds? The donkey does. Nobody cares about you your whole life, and point of these people is to make you a donkey that does not resist again, does not fight no more, does not get in the way, and does not ruin anybody's day. All they need, that as soon as they make you a blind donkey, they leave you alone, because their whole point in life not to bring you to God, but to destroy your calling. And a lot of times we think that the sin destroys your calling, but sin had nothing to do. It just pulled them out of his calling. But when he's laying there, he just fell asleep. That took everything. Watch carefully who wants to touch you. Watch carefully. They will tell you how to drink tea. They might tell you how to dress. They might tell you what kind of car to drive. But nobody will ever tell me how to serve my God. You hear me? Because I know my God. You might let people talk about other things and whatever and whenever. But whenever it comes to your destiny, you must stand up to put the tea inside. The tea drinking time is over. You have no right to touch what you just tried to touch. I want you to be sure when you're with your love to God. I want to give you this lesson just for one reason. When somebody tries to touch your destiny, you would know that this is not just a talk. It's somebody trying to steal your destiny, and you must reply the same. Give the glory to God. Father, we thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hands and just worship him. Tell him, thank you, Father. We worship you. We ask you to make us strong, make us powerful. Give us the certainty and clarity in our life. We will not let a devil stomp on us. We will not sell our standards. If God's alive, he's alive who changes and delivers. If God heals the sick and casts out demons, that means that's the standards of our church. If we allow somebody... God, I thank you that you gave us the right mind. I thank you. Teach us to keep going, to protect what you gave us. Teach us to get into on guard for destiny and our spirit, our family, and our spiritual family. I thank you for the power that you give. I thank you for all the resistance that goes against us, because this tests us one more time. We thank you that we can be in this vision, in this church, in this city. We thank you that you change our mentality. That's the most important thing that has to be changed in the life of a Christian. Change your mentality. Our thinking. Change our ways of understanding. We will not let the devil stomp on church and to wash us into nothing. We will not let the devil to tell us who we are. We know who we are. We know who we're strong in. We will never sell our standards through any conversation in any way. We know what our calling costs us, and we know through the blood of Christ. All the glory goes to you. All the honor. Give us the heart that will be able to keep us on your territory. Bless everyone who's in this church. Bless everyone who listens and watches this and lives through this together with us. We bless. Let this anointing pour. Let this sermon raise up more people. We ask you, Father, all our words, let them to change things around. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen.